Father God, again, we're so thankful for this season. It's a season of giving because of the gift that you gave. We think of that gift most of all at this time. And Lord, we ask that you just bless this message as we look through this scripture and especially the song that was written based on it. Pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests, is called Gloria in Excelsis Deo. It is a hymn that had a Latin name because the church early on, the Roman church early on, made that one of the hymns for their worship. And it's one of four different hymns that are recorded in the first two chapters of Luke that have been used down through the ages by the church, and they have Latin names. The Magnificat is Mary's praise to God. And then John the Baptist's father, Zacharias Benedictus, that's also in the common prayer book anyway, and down through the church history. And then Simeon's Nunc Dimittis, which is now dismiss me that I've seen that your promised Messiah. So this is one of four, but it's the shortest. And it's from an angel. The rest are from humans, but this is from an angel. And this angel song has twofold proclamation. The first proclamation is the glory of God. But the second proclamation is where that glory is coming from. It's coming from God's work in redeeming lost humanity. And that's the theme of this message, this display of God's glory as it is seen in the redemptive work of Christ. And this that just gives you a little background of this message. Well, in the King James Version, as I said earlier, it says, on earth peace to men, or on earth goodwill towards men. And they have found the oldest manuscripts that say that doesn't bear that out. It says, on men on whom his favor rests. And that word favor is pleasure. Who does God take pleasure in? That's the thing. His peace will come to those in whom God takes pleasure. And how do you make God pleased? Come on, we just went through Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. And it says in that faith chapter, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. God wants us to trust Him. And that's the basis of a relationship, isn't it? Trust. And so He wants us to have faith. And so those who have faith on those people, that is where His favor rests, and there will be peace to them, God's peace. And that's why some people, even at this season, cannot find peace, because they have not placed their faith on what this season is all about. It says, Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, He's the reason for every season, really, if you think about it. Well, that's some background on that verse, but there was a hymn based on that verse, and it's familiar. We sang it last week. It is Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It's based on Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. And it was written by Charles Wesley in 1739, and it's sung to the tune of Frederick Mendelssohn, who wrote that tune in 1840, about 100 years later. And that's why it's so familiar, because that tune is such a neat tune. But the tune was made for a cantata that celebrated the 400th year of Gutenberg's invention of the printing press. Now, Gutenberg decided to print his first project. You know what it was? It was the Bible. And here's what he said. He said, religious truth is captive in a small number of manuscript books which guard the treasures. Let us break the seal which holds the holy things, give wings to the truth, that by a means no longer written at great expense by the hand that wearies itself, but multiplied by an unwearied machine, may it fly to every soul born in the world. That's a great statement, isn't it, about the printing press and what the truth should be used. And the Bible has been the most printed book. It was the first one printed, and it's been the most printed book in history. Well, Charles Wesley's hymn does what his statement, Gutenberg's statement, says. It's why it's so neat that Mendelssohn's cantata's hymn went with Charles Wesley's song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, because it continues to let the truth be multiplied everywhere to the multitudes as long as this song is sung at Christmas time. And I've heard it sung, like I told you last week, I heard it sung in a figure drawing class at American River College, because you'd think, well, it's not allowed. Religion's not allowed in college, but they played it anyway, and it was wonderful to listen to it while we were drawing. Well, we're going to look at Charles Wesley's hymn because it says, Glory to the Newborn King. That's the title of this message. And what we're going to see is, how was that glory manifested to us? How was it manifested to us? And this is what the hymn is all about. The first stanza is about the glory of its introduction, the introduction of the coming of the Messiah. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful, all ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host, proclaim Christ is born in Bethlehem. Well, Proverbs 25:2 says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but to search out a matter is the glory of kings. And God's plan of salvation was concealed, hidden under Old Testament symbolism in sacrifices and so on for centuries, under these atoning sacrifices, was hidden, was concealed. But when Christ came, this was the first time in history that this newborn king would reveal God's plan of salvation to the point where everybody could know it, where it would be completely revealed and it would be universally proclaimed. The display of God's glory is seen in the work of Christ's redemption. Well, Wesley tells us to hearken to the angelic proclamation, and then he gives a sort of a synopsis of what the announcement was of Luke 2:14, which is our text. And then he, after he paraphrases that and proclaims it, then he calls upon the whole world to join the angels in proclaiming that truth. Just join the angels in doing that. Glory to the newborn king. That's repeated again and again in the chorus. Because the newborn king, this king that was now born, was going to bring peace on earth and mercy mild by establishing a means to make God and sinners reconciled. He was going to do that, and that was the glory that was being revealed. Stanza 2 talks about the glory of the incarnation. Stanza 2 says, Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased with us in flesh to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. And you remember what Emmanuel means? God with us. Well, the glory of this king, well, the glory that he has, is in the distance that he spanned in coming. He came out of eternity into time. We don't understand what that means, but we can state it in terms, but we can't really understand. How does God come out of eternally, where there's no time, just eternity, how he comes? Because he says, I am that I am. There is no I was, there is no I will be, it's just I am. How does God come out of eternity like that into a time frame? It's amazing that God did it. He spanned that distance. He came from highest heaven to a lowly virgin's womb, a little poor girl, actually a poor girl, in Jerusalem or in Palestine. And the glory of his incarnation does something else. It does something to our humanity. It does something to our human bodies. It actually confirms the glory that he put within us because we're made in God's image. And Jesus was not embarrassed to be seen wrapped up in our flesh, as Terry was saying. He came and wrapped himself up in human flesh. He's not ashamed to do that. It gives glory. It actually confirms the glory that is within the human body. He actually deigns to be greeted in the human body now. From now on and forevermore. how you greet God? You greet Him in a human body. He has manifested Himself in as the most communicative way He can possibly do, by becoming one of us. By becoming one of us. And now that word hail means to greet and to welcome. To greet the person and to welcome them. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. That's in the following verse. Well, God's glory is an incarnate glory. It is a glory that will always now be incarnate. The human body is now the eternal vehicle through which God's glory is manifested. And that fact should straighten us out on the dignity of the body. Whenever somebody puts down the body, there's been a lot of abuse in our culture, especially our culture, but in many cultures, about how the body is seen obscenely and treated that way. This incarnation of Christ ought to set us straight and ought to help us to see and think about the human body in a very decent and dignified way. Well, the glory of his ministry is seen in stanza 3. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son, S-U-N. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all He brings, risen with healing in His wings. Mild He lays His glories by. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. We welcome, or we hail and greet, the promised Prince of Peace. I say promised because it was a long promise from the Old Testament, which we'll read in a second, but lasting peace is always, it seems to be, or should be, the goal of every government, of every ministry, governmental ministry, is to bring peace. And Caesar Augustus was thought to be that great Prince of Peace, because through bringing the Mediterranean nations under the rule of Rome, he brought in what is called the Pax Romana, the Peace of Rome, the Roman peace that was all around that time. There was travel, there was business, there was no war anymore. Of course, they'd conquered everybody, so there was no more war. But that Roman peace lasted a while, and God used it to announce the good news to all those nations. But it didn't last, because it was based on human power. Well, it says in Isaiah 9:6, that great promise of the Prince of Peace, "For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." And he did. It's established. It's begun. The reign of the Prince of Peace. While he was here, however, something else was manifested. An Old Testament prophecy about S-U-N, Son of Righteousness, rising with healing in his wings. It's from Malachi, chapter 4, verse 2. "But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall." There is something about being released that humans needed. It's like that song we sing, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. But it's the heart cry of all of us, to be delivered from that which has bound us up. And it's not just physical, it's not just the physical ailments, it's not just the emotional ailments, it's relational things. It's everything that binds people up. The Son of Righteousness was come to bring, as it says in the song, light and life to all he brings. You see, in his ministry of teaching, he brought light. He brought revelation. He brought truth. In his ministry of life and healing, he brought miracles. And we saw what he could do with his power. And we also saw something else, the resurrection. He will rise with healing in his wings. And we say, he is the Son of Righteousness. He's the one that shines and brings life and healing. But his greatest ministry was to deal a death blow to death. To deal a death blow to death. born that man no more may die, and he did this by resurrection. He did it by resurrection. His own resurrection is the prototype that that seals the promise for all of us to be raised. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. There is a resurrection for sinners, and there's a resurrection for sinners who have become saints by God's power because they have new birth. New birth is what he says, born to give them second birth. We choose which resurrection we want to be in. You know that. We choose which resurrection we want. We didn't choose about being born into this world. None of us chose to be born into the race of Adam. We're just here. We got born by other wills than our own. But we're in the race of Adam, and we get a choice if we want to become part of the race of the new Adam, the new man from heaven, as it says in Scripture. We can choose new birth into God's family. John chapter 1, verse 12 says this, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." The new birth. And then the final one, glory of his victory. The glory of Christ's victory. Stanza 4. "Come, desire of nations, come. Fix in us thy humble home. Rise the woman's conquering seed. Bruise in us the serpent's head. Now display thy saving power. Ruin nature, now restore. Now in mystic union join, thine to ours and ours to thine." A little explanation is needed here. Well, first of all, I just want to say that the first thing that Christ has victory over, the first thing he conquers, is the hearts of sinners. Otherwise, there wouldn't be people saying, "Come, come, desire of nations, come." And we wouldn't be saying at the end of the Bible and book of Revelation, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come. Come, even so, Lord Jesus." That's our prayer. But it's because our hearts have been won. God has conquered our hearts through the love of Christ. We are now free. Free from sin's bondage and free to participate in the divine nature that God gives us. Well, his victory that he had to do, that he came, it actually says that he came to do. It says the Son of God appeared to destroy the works of the devil. That's what it says in Hebrews. We studied that. The victory that he had was over Satan. Here's what it says. "Rise, the woman's conquering seed. Bruise in us the serpent's head." Where does that come from? That is the oldest prophecy of the Messiah in Scripture, in the third chapter of the Bible, in Genesis. I'll read it. Chapter 3, verse 15. And this is spoken by God to Satan. He says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Where was Christ's heel struck? Calvary. Where was Satan's head crushed? At Calvary. At Calvary. And so, we look at this poem called Paradise Lost. How many know where that? Who wrote that? Milton. Everybody knows about Paradise Lost. It's one of the most popular poems of English literature, Paradise Lost. But most people don't know about Paradise Regained. He wrote another poem. You know, I don't know why it is, but people like to gravitate toward bad news. That's why newspapers that don't have a lot of blood and gore in them don't sell. For some reason, if you just had good news in the newspaper, the sales go down. Isn't that awful? And because that people gravitate to bad news, sometimes they skip over the good news. They skip over the good news. Christ turned the tragedy of humanity lost into humanity restored. Humanity restored. "Now display thy saving power. Ruin nature, now restore. Now in mystic union join, thine to ours and ours to thine. what we lost in the fall, in human nature, God has restored through our union with the nature of Christ, as we are in union by faith through new birth with Him. Well, the conclusion of this, I've chosen the stanza that nobody sings out of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It's a stanza that's there, but it's hardly ever sung, and I haven't heard it sung very often myself. And I just want to say this, that the most glorious message for us about the glory of this King is that we can share in His glory through faith. We can share in His glory by faith in Him. Stanza number 5. Adam's likeness, Lord, efface. Stamp Thine image in its place. Second Adam from above, reinstate us in Thy love. Let us Thee, though lost, regain. Thee, the life, the inner man, O to all Thyself impart, formed in each believing heart. Formed in each believing heart. The true glory of this newborn King and the true glory of Christmas is the Christ that Christmas celebrates. And we can share in that glory. We can share in that glory by faith. By faith. Let's pray. Father God, thank You. Thank You, thank You so much for coming. Thank You for doing what You did upon the cross. Thank You for humbling Yourself in the greatest distance ever spanned in all of history. Angelic history, human history, Your own history, which is a history of eternity. When You span the eternity to time, the highest heaven to a virgin's womb. Thank You for coming. Thank You for being God with us, one of us. We place our faith totally in You and our trust for all that You've promised and all the glory that is to be revealed in the future of the ages. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.